Life insurance. I was shown that Sabbath-keeping Adventists should not engage in life insurance. This is a commerce with the world which God does not approve of. Those who engage in this enterprise are uniting with the world, while God calls his people to come out from among them and to be separate. Said the angel, "Christ has purchased you by the sacrifice of his life." What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Here is the only life insurance which can be engaged in, which heaven sanctions. Life insurance is a worldly policy, which leads our brethren who engage in it to depart from the simplicity and purity of the gospel. Every such departure weakens our faith and lessens our spirituality. Said the angel, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." As a people, we are in a special sense the Lord's. Christ has bought us. Angels that excel in strength surround us. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without the notice of our Heavenly Father. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. God has made provision for his people. He has a special care for them, and they should not distrust his providence by engaging in a policy with the world. God designs that we should preserve in simplicity and holiness our peculiarity as a people. Those who engage in this worldly policy invest means which belongs to God, which he has entrusted to them to use in his cause, to advance his work. In life insurance, but few will realize any returns. And even these returns without God's blessing will prove an injury instead of a benefit. Those whom God has made his stewards have no right to place in the enemy's ranks that means which he has entrusted to them to use in his cause. Satan is constantly presenting inducements to God's chosen people to attract their minds from the solemn work of preparation for the scenes just in the future. He is, in every sense of the word, a deceiver, a skillful charmer. He clothes his plans and snares with coverings of light borrowed from heaven. He tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. He made her believe that she would be greatly advantaged by tasting of that fruit. Satan leads his agents to engage in various inventions and patent rights and different enterprises that Sabbath-keeping Adventists, who are in haste to be rich, may fall into temptation, become ensnared, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. He is wide awake, busily engaged leading the world captive, and through the agencies of worldlings, he keeps up a continual pleasing excitement to draw the unwary who profess to believe the truth to unite with worldlings. The lust of the eye, the desire for excitement and pleasing entertainment, is a temptation and snare to God's people. Satan has many finely woven, dangerous nets, covered with apparent innocency, but with which he is skillfully preparing to infatuate God's people. There are pleasing shows, entertainments, phrenological lectures, and an endless variety of enterprises constantly arising, calculated to lead the people of God to love the world and the things that are in the world. Through this union with the world, faith becomes weakened, and means are transferred to the enemy's ranks which should be invested in the cause of present truth. Through these different channels, Satan is skillfully bleeding the purses of the people of God, and for it, the displeasure of God is upon them.